Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, SEC Media Day still going on, and the big story yesterday was possible expansion to the SEC, and this came out a little bit later in the afternoon, conveniently, right as Jimbo Fisher from Texas A&M was about to get up on stage and start talking to the media at SEC Media Days. Reports coming out from the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma may be interested in joining the SEC. And apparently they have had conversations about joining the SEC. Their contract with the Big 12 Grant of Rights Agreement expires in 2025, and Texas and Oklahoma appear not to really want to be in the Big 12 for the long term. And according to Brett McMurphy with Stadium, he says, quote, "The Longhorns are soon expected to inform the Big 12 that they do not plan to extend their grant of media rights deal with the conference." So it looks like Texas and Oklahoma, they want out of the Big 12, and the SEC appears to be the ideal landing spot for both of them. So, Rex, what do we think of all this? What do we think about the idea of maybe two football powerhouses in Texas and Oklahoma potentially joining the SEC?
Trying to find my text from yesterday between the text thread with you, me, and Michelle and what I said. What did I say? I think I said highly, highly unlikely that this actually happens, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to retract that now.
You're taking it back?
Yeah, this is going to be contentious.
And again, I highly, highly doubt it happens, but it may for quite a Wednesday, is what you said.
Yeah.
You're retracting.
I'm retracting. One, because information keeps coming out, but two, you think more and more about it. This looks more and more like not Texas A&M getting out front of something, but trying to, it's almost like a Hail Mary from Texas A&M. I mean, this is all, we know about this because Texas A&M decided yesterday, we've got to try to get this out there and attack it. And so that's what they did. And the beat writer who covers Texas A&M for the Houston Chronicle broke the story. And now it's out there. And it feels too far down the road for me. And it's a huge, huge deal. You know, the last bit of realignment was, and the Big Ten is the best example of this, the last bit of realignment was about cable television, okay?
Yes.
And the money was so big, and at that time, you basically, with your basic cable package, you were paying, you know, like you're paying $1.30 or whatever for like ESPN or whatever. So Jim Delaney, who made a lot of money for the Big Ten over the years, he said, we're going to, you know, and people were like, Rutgers? Maryland, okay, but Rutgers? Yeah, well, called New York Cable.
Yep.
That's completely different now. So we're a decade later, and by the way, a decade from now, who knows how things look or what goes on, but now, I mean, brand names, like back then, I remember people saying, okay, because Big Ten was trying to get Notre Dame in Texas, too.
Yep.
Texas has been, everybody's courted Texas. And Texas has everything. Texas has big markets, and they have brand name. But now brand name is what matters.
Does the is the Longhorn Radio or the Longhorn Network still a thing on TV?
It is a thing.
So is that coming here too?
Well, that's a big part of this, and that's why. So I mean, we've got some good stuff. Andy Staples wrote a good piece at The Athletic about that and how really what it means is that it's got to be the SEC or ACC for Texas. Obviously, the Big Ten has gone the Fox route. you know, more and more. I mean, they still have stuff on ESPN as well, but you can fold in the Longhorn Network because the SEC, of course, is going all ESPN. The SEC soon, well, that CBS, which is kind of sad, by the way, that the CBS, you know, Game of the Week thing is over. It's going to be ESPN ABC, but that's a lot more money. You think so? But if you really look at it from Texas and Oklahoma's perspective, so yes, it would be folded in. But if you look at it from their perspective, key point also brought up by Staples, you know, these media negotiations have gone early, but the Big 12, ESPN, they did not want to negotiate with them early. If you're those schools, those programs, you're looking at the what the SEC just did with their deal and what the Big 10 has done, and also they're coming up too, and it's going to be huge. A few years down the road, you are going to be so far behind them in revenue.
Yep.
So far behind them. The SEC and the Big 10 right now are poised to be way beyond everybody else. And this is going to be the case. Even though the Big 12 right now is the conference we look at, is like, man, they're screwed. And maybe they stay alive and they go get a couple Mountain West schools. What they might. But the ACC also, with this, is going to be hurting. They're going to be way behind.
And it's interesting. Like I think we've known that there's going to come a day again where the SEC expands, and I thought maybe the next target would be Clemson, because I mean they are in the Southeast and it makes sense. And talk about Clemson being the SEC, that'd be awesome.
And then South Carolina says,
"Keep them the heck out of our league. Stay away." But I mean, I'm just saying. I thought that would be the next route that gets taken. But to your point, like obviously Texas A&M, they don't want this to happen. They got out of the Big 12, and one of the big things that they have going for them now is, number one, the incredible amount of money that they pour into that place, but number two, the SEC. That's how they recruit, and that's, hey, we're in the SEC. We're in the best conference in America. You could see why they wouldn't want Texas being in there. I would put Missouri in the same boat. I don't think Missouri wants Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC. And remember, there has to be – it has to be approved by 11 of the 14 schools. So that's probably two right there that say no. So could they find two more schools in the SEC that say no to this to prevent this to happen?
Yeah, Kirk Bowles, Austin American Statesman, reported, you know, tweeted yesterday that he put Missouri as a hard no. So that's his reporting, or he said he's hearing, you know, that. And so I'm guessing, you know, based on where Kirk works, probably has some A&M sources, and they feel good about Missouri being on their team. Who's the third and fourth school that would block this? And there's going to be, again, you know, like Greg Sankey, people tried to ask him. He's like,
what about Arkansas?
Focusing on, yeah, maybe. Maybe Arkansas. I mean, again, Dan Wolkin tweeted, I think the Mississippis should say no. If you're LSU, do you love the idea of you recruit the hell out of Texas? And again, like you said, the SEC, that is a difference maker. You might lose more of those battles with Texas in your league. Now, with all of them, I think Greg Sankey would be like, hey, let's talk about the revenue that we will be splitting a few years down the road with these programs in, and let's talk about the fact that we have a 12-team playoff and the fact that we're going to get four or five teams every year in this thing. We still have better access. You still have a much better way to get in, and you add these two and the revenue skyrockets, and we are going to blow past the Big Ten. We're going to be number one in revenue, because the SEC has been number one in talent and football, but not in revenue. That's the Big Ten. Does that really matter? Is this just some big, you know, who has more money contest? Well, I would say that when you get down to each program, each school, hey, if we have another X million dollars, then these schools in this league, it's going to end up making a difference for us.
Our buddy Christopher on Periscope says, if I was the SEC, then the Longhorn Network has to go and two teams need to get kicked out. Probably either LSU, Arkansas, A&M, or Missouri. If they get brought in and the divisions have to be remade, so Bama and Auburn have to be in the East as well. I don't think they're kicking anybody out. Like I don't anticipate anybody getting kicked out because of this. And you're just adding two.
LSU's not getting kicked out of the
SEC.
No one's. Yeah, you're not going to kick anyone out. I think what you may have here is the thing that was talked about a decade ago, which is the four 16 team
power leagues.
Yeah,
I hate. Well, and there's an idea, and we'll get to more of this coming up here in just a few minutes, but there's an idea that the SEC Network has thrown out there as to, but remind you, I'm saying SEC Network. So the league-owned network is talking about this and throwing out different proposals out there right now at SEC Media Days. And one of the ideas they've thrown out there is if Oklahoma and Texas were to join the conference, four-team pods in the SEC, which if that happens, you will see me lose my mind. We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Baby, your song, you made me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Ah, the beautiful dulcet tones of Florida Georgia Line bring us back in here today on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I will say, of their stuff, that one's not bad. That's very early, though. That's like very early, Florida Georgia
Will
Line.
Will you bring it back? I didn't have my headphones on in time.
Yeah, you
okay, that's enough. Thanks.
All right, that's enough.
All right.
So you going to buy a Florida Georgia Line t-shirt?
FGL, baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you guys t-shirts and hats.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Big Florida Georgia Line fans here. Hey. They're here in Nashville. Maybe they're listening right now.
I mean, this is where...
Wish you guys the best.
This is where I obviously know Garth Brooks, like Garth Brooks, but like that doesn't sound all that different from a lot of stuff to me. I'm sorry.
All that different than Garth Brooks?
Oh, no. Yeah, the Garth Brooks, yes, but like than a lot of stuff.
Okay, all right, okay.
I mean, I don't have the... discerning country music ear.
Okay.
Right. And don't want it.
Right now we're talking Texas and Oklahoma potentially joining the SEC. That was the big story yesterday at SEC Media Days. And Paul Feinbaum discussed the possibility of the addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC and maybe how close that is to actually becoming a reality. Here's what Paul Feinbaum from ESPN had to say on the potential addition of Texas and Oklahoma.
So you mentioned that Texas and Oklahoma are the big dogs in the Big 12. So if this happened, how could or could at all the Big 12 survive?
I don't think it can. This is a league that is already challenged for a couple of reasons. They have very good television partners for their Saturday games with this network and others, but they don't have a conference network. The ACC has one. The Pac-12 has one. The Big 10 has one. And naturally, the SEC has one. These are very important moneymakers, Ryan, as you and Elle know, and they have been in a tough position because of that for many, many years, and they never came up with an answer, and as a result, I think they could be close to losing the two biggest names in the league.
So that was Paul Feinbaum discussing what the future of the Big 12 could look like if Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC. If that's the case and this ends up happening, is the Big 12 done? Like, is there any way you recover from that if you're the Big 12 losing the two biggest marquee programs in your conference?
Well, if not done, I mean, way diminished. Hey, Pac-12's like, boom, we moved past the Big 12, baby. We are not in last place anymore. So Sam Kahn, again, a lot of good stuff out there in general, including, you know, Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated has a good piece in which he talks about a source told him in May, keep an eye on Texas and Oklahoma. Just telling you. And, you know, he tried to poke around and couldn't get anything. They were doing a very good job of being under the radar on this. And then finally Texas A&M has come out here and tried to fight it with this having this story break. But here's what Bob Bowlesby, and this is in Sam Kahn's piece in The Athletic today, and Sam covers Texas for us, the state in general. He told WIBW-AM in Topeka at Media Days last week, quote, this is the commissioner of the Big 12, quote, conference migration has been diminished greatly by the demise of linear cable. I frankly don't spend much time worrying about conference composition. Our group is closer today than they've ever been in my 10 years here. End quote. Oh, boy.
Okay.
And then the next line of the story, Bowlesby did not respond publicly Wednesday. I mean, that guy has been hit with absolute out-of-nowhere uppercut. And, whew, this is, I mean, you're talking about those words are going to be are going to be replayed a lot. And he said other things like that too, like, nah, realignment's not really a thing. Hey, you know what? I bought into that too a week ago, and in the last several years, like, who cares? Like, cable doesn't matter. People have found their spots. But the bottom line is, and I get it, if you're Texas and Oklahoma and you're seeing these TV deals that the SEC just struck, and you're seeing, you know what the Big Ten's about to do, your schools are about to be way behind them.
Yep.
And so Kyle Tucker on my text line, friend of the show, covers the Wildcats for the
BBN.
Athletic. That's right, BBN. That's right. That's right. Kyle says, the amount of money these schools will be turning down, we're talking about SEC schools, by rejecting Texas and Oklahoma is astronomical. No school is turning down another $20 million a year. He's talking about, can they get
I think Texas A&M is probably turning down.
Well, they are. Yeah. Oh, God. No, Texas A&M, you know, we haven't seen it show up on the field, but they have benefited financially greatly from this. Now, again.
We saw it last year. They're pretty good.
Yeah, well, but the recruiting has been a huge deal for them.
Right.
The recruiting, and I guess I'm sure Jimbo would like credit himself for that.
Yeah.
But no, it has made a huge difference for them. They have differentiated themselves in a positive way from Texas. No, they're definitely one no vote.
Not going to vote yes for this.
This whole thing, the reason we're talking about it today is because Texas A&M is desperate to try to stop this. I just, the more I think about it, the less I like their chances.
And let's introduce our poll question of the day again at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Should the SEC allow Oklahoma and Texas to join their conference? 57% so far say no. 43% say yes. I'm not surprised that's the result. In a perfect world, I don't know that I really want Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference either. I just know that if the money that's going to be on the table is on the table, this is going to be pretty difficult, I think, to avoid. Like, I think there's a good chance this happens, and they both end up in the SEC.
I mean, from the instant reaction, I think for most fans around this league, is like, what? I don't want. Why?
Yeah,
they're not SEC teams. We have tradition.
That's the other thing. Like, it's the SEC.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Now you're in Texas.
Right. It's just the Southwest.
Oklahoma. Southwest.
Yeah. It's the Southwest Conference reboot. You know. And so from the initial fan reaction to all this stuff, I mean, Big Ten fans, when it was like, I mean, shoot, I'll go back to Penn State, but then Nebraska, and then, of course, Rutgers?
Yeah.
What? But then you tell fans, well, if your school, so like let's say, like Dan Wolkin tweets yesterday, the Mississippi school should be flat no, right? Okay. Well, if you tell an Ole Miss fan, yeah, there's now two more teams that are definitely ahead of you in this league. That's true. However, you are going to make $20 million more dollars than Clemson in a few years.
Yeah, but fans don't care about that.
Well, but unless it's like, can that pay off for you? Can that pay off on the field? Now, I would argue on Wolkin's side, you're still Ole Miss and Mississippi State. You're just down the pecking order. Great. You have more money, but you're not going to be more competitive in football. A 12-team SEC, or I'm sorry, a 12-team playoff with the current SEC, I could make a case as an Ole Miss fan, Lane Train is going to get Arch Manning in here, and we're going to be the fifth team in the SEC, but we're going to get in the playoff.
Yep.
Well, now you got Oklahoma and Texas in the way too, on top of everybody else.
There's an idea as well that's being discussed that if it happens, I'm just going to hate. Like, and this is on the SEC network, by the way. Ross Dellinger's threw it out there this morning. And they're talking about on the SEC network, if Oklahoma or Texas join the conference, 4 four-team pods that they could split up the conference into with the 16 teams that would then be in the conference. And the pods would be, under this plan, Pod A, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and South Carolina. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. That'd be something. Pod C, LSU.
Congratulations, Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M, and Pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. And let me just say, that's another school that I'm looking around at. Arkansas, I'm not doing this if I'm Arkansas. Now, maybe they end up doing it because of the money, but if I'm Arkansas and I'm saying, yeah, no way. In the world I'm doing this? Why would I want those two teams to be in here? But the pods, if that's what happens and this gets split up into four pods, that's going to drive me nuts.
So again,
what do you do with the SEC title game with four? Like, do you just have like a mini pod winner playoff in the SEC? What happens?
You just have your top two.
Okay, but like, how do you determine the top two?
Well,
it's not like there's, you know, the division anymore. You're in four different pods.
Right. Well, I mean, you have your top two records, and then you just go tiebreakers down the list, which probably would also include your CFP ranking, right?
You would think so.
So, I mean, independent of all this, I'm for getting rid of the divisions anyway. But and just you have a better chance of having a better title game in any of these leagues if you do that. But yeah, the pod, that's an interesting way to look at it. Also interesting that the SEC Network
threw that out there.
But Kyle, more good stuff from Kyle here. And this is, we've talked about this, but it's a good point. Super conferences are coming. Now, I would say, well, especially if this happens.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about super conferences forever. Something has to happen. But his point is, you want to be the super conference. We're already the power. This would be about ensuring you stay the power. So if you're
from a league perspective, like Greg Sankey's not going to say it, but he would eat this up. He would love to have Texas and Oklahoma.
No question. I mean, his job is to make as much money for all these people as possible.
Right.
And be as powerful and successful as possible. And this is absolutely, it's a no-brainer for him. But yeah, these from a football and again, like the fan perspective on this, like the Ole Miss fan is a good example. Like the Ole Miss program, you got a shot in this SEC in a 12-team playoff. I don't know that you have a shot with this super conference with a 12-team playoff. And of course, we said it earlier on the show. Let's not forget that the 12-team playoff is not official yet.
Well, and let's also, you talk about Ole Miss. Tennessee is in the same boat. Like, this does not help Tennessee on the field if Texas and Oklahoma end up in the SEC.
Well, that's a good point. Now, Tennessee, you know, far away from being that, but you can't sit here and tell me that they couldn't get back there.
Sure.
Now, they've got the
resources.
But
it's already hard enough of a road to get back there for Tennessee the way it is. You add Oklahoma and Texas to the conference, it becomes that much harder.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has a higher ceiling than Ole Miss, period.
Sure.
Always will. I mean, for the foreseeable future. But you're right. If they do get everything figured out and turned around, and there's a 12-team playoff as things stand, yeah. I mean, shoot, the 2016 team, until they crapped out late, that's a team that's right in there to be in the playoff if that's what the system is then.
Right.
So you're not that far away. But, yes, now you add these two, you just got two teams farther away.
Will from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, how is it that the Big Ten generates the most revenue over the SEC? I don't dispute it. That's a fact. But surprising to me, given the massive football revenue in the SEC.
Well, it's very close, but you think about the fan bases in the Big Ten. Like so for example, Michigan is a massive moneymaker. Now, on the field, they've been a disaster, not quite Tennessee level, but they're actually a lot like Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
They still have all these things in place. They haven't figured out on the field. But from the revenue perspective, eyeballs, huge. Ohio State, obviously huge. Penn State, huge. And then even some of your mid-tier programs, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Nebraska. Iowa, Nebraska, which was, I mean, that's the entire state of Nebraska. That's the sports team that they care about.
Right.
So it's just, they haven't been as good on the field. But, yeah, if you really break down and go through fan base by fan base, it's very close. But the Big Ten was out front. And, again, even the expansion involving Rutgers was a big deal at the time because cable was still the thing. That and of course now that's changing. The SEC does this. The number one will not be in dispute anymore.
Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday, July 26th from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. What do you think about Texas and Oklahoma potentially being added to the SEC? Let us know at 615-737-1025. Also get into Clark Lee a little bit yesterday as well, making his debut at SEC Media Days. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds face Jacksonville, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50, and first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Talking about a possible addition to the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma apparently expressing interest in joining the SEC. Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you're a real competitor, then this shouldn't matter to you as a fan or a player. Actually, people should be excited. Better games to come. More competitive games to come.
I mean, the games are going to be sweet. And, of course, you're also going to have, like, teams in the same league who don't play each other for years, which is already the case. Like, Georgia still hasn't traveled once.
Well, but according to this pod idea they've thrown out there, it says at the bottom, a 9-game conference schedule format. You play the other three teams in your pod every season, play 2 games against each team of the other pods. You host every team at least once every 4 seasons.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's better than now.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, the way it's set up, which, of course, now a lot of the problem now is the protected rivalries. I mean, those just make it harder to rotate around enough. So
Tennessee just can't escape Alabama. You put into a pod on this idea from the SEC Network, and it's Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. There's rivalries?
Two of those in-state rivalries, the in-state rivalry pod.
Yeah.
Well, imagine Texas A&M.
Yeah.
They are in the same pod in this thing, yes?
Texas and Texas A&M?
Are they not?
They're not.
Why would that be, I wonder?
I don't know. It makes no sense.
I mean, if you're going to do a pod, then do Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Missouri?
Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma. Arkansas, Oklahoma, the two Texases. What do they have?
It's Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas.
So they got
and they've got
Missouri.
A&M with the two Mississippi LSU. Schools and LSU.
Hmm.
Feels like a missed opportunity.
I mean, if you're gonna ruin Texas A&M's life here, you may as well just make them play them every year again. By golly, let's just bring it back.
Let's get that thing back in there. Yesterday was day one for Clark Lee at SEC Media Days. His first trip to Hoover, Alabama, as head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. And Clark Lee, I thought, did a pretty good job yesterday at SEC Media Days and talked about the evolution of recruiting at Vanderbilt and the different challenges that this group now faces heading into year one with the Commodores. Here's what Clark Lee, Vanderbilt, had to say yesterday at day one of SEC Media Days for him.
Can you describe the evolution of recruiting talent in the state of Tennessee? Obviously, the population explosion in Nashville and improving and increasing in the eastern part of the state as well.
Well, a lot's changed since I was in high school, obviously. I mean, it's the level of football has improved. The population base, like you mentioned, has gotten bigger. I mean, it's a fertile grounds, and we have to do a great job of being first in our backyard. And look, not everybody is going to be a fit for us, and that is what it is. But we need to make sure the guys that are looking for a place like Vanderbilt, again, a place where there are no compromises to be made, that I want to achieve at a high level on the field. You know, I want this to be a football decision for recruits. And it will be, because we'll have the best developmental program in the country. Again, every system that we design is built to drive a player to his potential. And so, but also guys that want Vanderbilt want to know that in 20 years, they're not in a we don't use the word fallback plan in our building. There's no such thing. To me, it's a plan to launch to your impact long term in life once you're done with football. And that could be a 10-year career, and you could be 30 years old, and your life and your impact is just starting. And so Vanderbilt's a place that will develop that person as well as the player to its highest level. Those guys that exist in our backyard, both in Middle Tennessee and then obviously, as you mentioned, the eastern part of the state, and then the western Tennessee, which has always had strength, those guys that are out there need to know that Vanderbilt's coming after them. And we're excited to build a program that they'll be proud to stay home and be a part of.
So that was Clark Lee yesterday at SEC Media Days discussing recruiting and recruiting in the state of Tennessee as well. I was pretty impressed with Clark Lee yesterday at Vanderbilt. I thought he did a good job. he made it pretty apparent that there's obviously a lot of work to do at Vanderbilt. And, you know, we've talked about the task that Clark Lee now has in front of him. But recruiting has gone well for him so far, and that was what his message was yesterday. It was everything was about recruiting for Clark Lee yesterday at SEC Media Days.
But what does he think about Texas and Oklahoma?
I don't know. Should have asked.
Would you like to be in a pod with Texas, Oklahoma, and
or would you
Alabama?
Prefer Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah. You know, I thought Clark Lee was good. You know, Clark Lee, for us, for me, you know, haven't talked to him a few times since he's been hired. He has some consistent messages. But as he was going through his full address yesterday and then answering the questions, I did think to myself, like, I don't think anyone has said, you know, there's a whole bunch of phrases that all football coaches say, right? And I mean, it's just year after year, different coach, bringing a new coach, say a lot of the same things. Like, some of the things he says, I've never heard a football coach say.
He's got a great vocabulary.
He's got a great vocabulary. And he's very much, you know, one thing he said a few times yesterday, I tweeted this, you know, during his time at the podium, like, compromise is a word he used several times,
yep.
Which to me is just a very subtle, like, we're the one school in this league that doesn't compromise on everything. You know, he's obviously big. I mean, he also used some superlatives, you know, best, and he's done this before, best development in the country.
Yep.
He said best program in the country.
Yep.
You know, when you think about Vanderbilt football, you do not think about best anything. You know, I mean, unless we're going back to 1921. But he's very much leaning in on, of course, you know, the degree, but also just the development. The city, but using this time to set you up for everything that's to come, whether you play football after this or not. I mean, it's a smart approach, and they've been hitting that hard on the recruiting trail. And look, there are enough top athletes, football players out there who are great students for programs like this to field good teams. We know this because we've seen Stanford and we've seen Northwestern and to some extent even Duke and Wake Forest come off, you know, years of just complete irrelevance because they got facilities. And that's a huge thing here. And Clark Lee, I think, kind of downplays the facilities thing, which I get because, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. But the timing of this is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge for him. They are going to be competitive in terms of facilities. You could not have said that about Vanderbilt for decades and decades and decades.
William texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I feel that the only acceptable conference for Vandy would be Vandy, Missouri, Kentucky, and Tennessee. You can't put them in the same pod with Alabama. Why not?
Oh, okay, so we're talking pods now.
Talking pods.
Yeah, talking pods. So you're going to have a not as good pod. You're trying to have balance on the pods, right? But then if you do it this way, any rivalry that you deem actually worth protecting and making sure you have every year, they're going to be in the same pod, which to me is why Texas and Texas A&M, if they do a pod thing, they better be together.
Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas.
Good luck, Razorbacks.
Sucks for Arkansas. Have fun. Let it go in there. Call the Hogs.
By the way, it wasn't that long ago that our pal David Ubbin wrote the column of why Arkansas should go to the Big 12, return to the Big 12. Now, like, yes, more money, but think of all the other things. So, man, this whole thing with that, you know, like Sam Kahn's story, the preliminary figures for these Big 12 rights, this is what this is all about, were, to quote a source, quote, very, very low.
Yeah.
Just that money is, yeah, we know this. It's going to ultimately drive the bus.
Looks like it might drive that bus all the way to the SEC for Texas and Oklahoma.
The Aggies are trying to throw themselves in front of the bus. It usually doesn't go well.
Usually does not. When we come back, we've got some tickets to give away for Nashville SC and FC Cincinnati coming up this Saturday at Nissan Stadium. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have some tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on FC Cincinnati coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And we're going to do that via a trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you know the answer, text into our text line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, today's trivia question is this. Yesterday was U.S. women's soccer's first loss in 44 matches. They went down 3-0 yesterday in the Olympics to Sweden. What country was the last team to beat them before Sweden beat them in the Olympics yesterday? So a 44-match winning streak for U.S. women's soccer that comes to an end yesterday against Sweden. Which team beat them before that to start the winning streak for U.S. women's soccer at 44? Which was the last team to beat the United States? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will have multiple winners. So if you know that, hit up our text line, and you will be contacted if you win.
I only know because I was told.
Me too.
But it's a very good trivia question.
It's a good trivia question. So hopefully we can find some winners there.
I wonder if that team, is that a wake-up call? All going to be well now, or is it, are they maybe not as dominant this time around as we thought?
Well, we were watching some of it yesterday on the show, and, I mean, it was 3-0, and every time I looked up, Sweden had the ball. So it looked like they got pretty well handled in that game. Who knows?
Yep. Looking for a big response. I don't know off the top of my head next match, but big response sought there.
There you go.
I hear the phones ringing.
And remember, we're not saying who beat them yesterday. We're saying who beat them to start off this. So they had a 44-match winning streak. Who beat them before that? So not yesterday. There's a little hint for you. I will go ahead and tell you. If you know who beat them yesterday, it is not that team. Because we are getting a lot of texts right now on the text line, and we do not have a single person yet who is right.
So they're thinking of Rio.
They are thinking of Rio.
Yep. And no, that would have been my guess, too.
And it is not that.
It is not.
So there's a couple of hints for you. So now we finally have one correct answer. But we have multiple winners, so keep going.
You're watching it in real time?
Yeah. By the way, Heidi texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Not trying to win, just trying to say hi to Joe in light of the Clowney news.
Wait, Clowney news?
Yeah, we missed something on Jadeveon Clowney?
Don't tell me he's hurt again.
I don't know what she's talking about. Maybe she means Yarncroke.
they are now one and the same.
Well, Marshawn Lynch and Callie Yarncroke are about to become best friends in Seattle. Maybe she means the loss of Yarncroke.
Yeah, okay. So confirm, Heidi, unless you have a scoop to let us know, I'm seeing nothing about Clowney.
Yeah.
Yarncroke. By the way, on the whole Yarncroke side of things, though, so Michael Gallagher for the Nashville Post, citing David Pagnotta of the fourth period, Pagnotta reported that Poile tried to get the Kraken to take Johansson and was even willing to retain some of his $8 million salary. You buy that or not?
Yeah, sure. I buy it. My question would be, did you not try to do the same with Matt Duchene? Or was that a no-go from the start? Like, did he try? I'm sure, like, if you're leaving Duchene exposed,
you try.
At some point, you're having a conversation with Francis and saying, all right, well, what's it going to take to get him? And I wonder if Ron Francis says, let's not even waste our time with this conversation.
Let me laugh instead of right. answering with words.
Now, that would tell me that if that happened and that never came up with Duchene, that at least maybe there was, like, partial consideration by Seattle to take Johansson.
Which
makes sense.
Which makes sense.
That's what we've talked about.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the thing. If Poile was to the point of talking about retaining salary on Johansson to move him, like imagine what would have been necessary for Duchene. Like,
right.
You can have my house, my life savings.
Yes.
Key to the city. Any player you want, any draft pick you want.
Yes. By the way, we have multiple winners, and I think we've got enough winners now to go ahead and reveal the winner to the trivia question. The answer is France. France was the last team to beat the United States women's soccer team. I believe it happened in a friendly match, but they beat them. So France, the answer on the text line. If you are a winner, you will be contacted shortly by our team here at 102.5 The Game to win some tickets to see Nashville SC take on FC Cincinnati coming up.
How did that happen? Je ne sais pas.
There you go.
I did not know that, though.
By the way, Heidi texting back in, Clowney was named the top recruit of the century. So that's the news.
No. Oh, goody. Let's watch a few more replays of the hit against Michigan.
Oh, man. I don't know if anything in the history of sports. I've enjoyed the Jadeveon Rexroke discussion. But I will say, I mean, last night between Marshawn Lynch and Sean Kemp announcing players at the Seattle expansion draft, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, he was not even going to attempt to say Cali Yarncroke's last name. He just said, boy, boy, Cali. Boy, boy, Cali is how Marshawn Lynch addressed Cali Yarncroke last night in the expansion draft. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what Sean Kemp said when he was trying to announce Eunice Donskoy being selected by Colorado. I believe it's Jonas Donskoy is what he ended up saying. But whatever it was amazing.
That was a great idea. I love it. Bringing both those guys back and very challenging. I mean, Yarncroke, it doesn't seem that challenging. But, you know, like
Yarncroke's pretty challenging.
But, if you're used to hockey names.
Yeah.
Kemp had a tougher assignment.
Well, they got Bobby Wagner up there last night, and he was like, thank God, I've got some easy names. I think his name was like Vince Dunn. Like, here's Vince Dunn. You got that one.
I got it.
No Cali Yarncroke.
Now, Lynch and Yarncroke can become buddies. Yarncroke can just show up for media so he won't get fined. It'll be great.
I mean, that's essentially what he did here, was show up for media so he wouldn't get fined. That's about it. Yeah, Cali Yarncroke's been a huge fan for a long time. He's been around for a long time. I don't have that many conversations with Cali Yarncroke.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't he did not love the interview process.
He was fine when he did it. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, just didn't have a lot of words. I mean, like Arvidsson, actually.
Yeah.
Like in terms of media, just purely media, Ellis, Yarncroke, and Arvidsson.
Yeah.
There are much tougher losses that could have been had from a media perspective.
Yes.
Let me put it that way.
Thank God Matias Ekholm is still here. Let's go back to the text line. Greg texting
but
in.
But Peck is a loss.
That's a big one. That's probably the biggest loss.
That's a toughie.
Greg texting in. The draft show was horrible. Between the feed and the mics cutting out, ESPN did not make a good first impression. I would say patience. There's some things to work out. I think their hockey coverage itself is going to be good. I'm excited about it.
I do, too. I think they should be mad at the NHL
for how
yesterday turned out. Because I will tell you, just as one viewer, I can only give you anecdotal evidence. I watched way less of that thing than I would have otherwise. And
yeah,
I bet you a whole bunch of people would say the same thing.
Yeah, when you know the entire team and what the roster is going to be before the expansion draft starts, it's not good. That's also why if you're the NHL, you have your rosters and your picks due at like, if you're going to have an expansion draft at 7 o'clock, have your picks due at about 6:50. And then you can roll out there and just start doing it. Or to your point, just do it live, man. Just do it live.
I don't know when we'll get another chance for this. But I would be all in on watching this happen in real time, including phone calls.
I don't care how long it takes.
You got 15 minutes to call Ron Francis, make your deal. I mean, obviously they've had calls before this.
Sure.
That's fine. But, yeah, let's make these picks in real time. Next time, guys, next time.
See what happens when Quebec City at some point inevitably finds their way back in.
Hartford Whalers.
Hartford Whalers.
Hartford Whalers, duh.
That's right. That does it for us here today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.